welcome back to our tour of Europe, looking at the different folk music from different areas. Up to now, we've been in Eastern Europe, we've been on the Iberian Peninsula, we've been in the central area, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and now we're going back out to the fringes of Europe, to the Nordic areas. And I'm with music maker, chef d'orchestre, composer Carl Smith. Hi, Carl.
Hello, Rob.
Tell us a bit about the history of music in the Nordic areas. We're talking about Iceland, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, that area.
Folk music traditions in the Nordic countries go back many hundreds, even thousands of years. Some of the traditional instruments used in Nordic folk music are very similar to instruments found in China that are thousands of years old. So it's likely that they have common origins, despite Stockholm and Beijing being some 4,000 miles apart.
That's extraordinary, isn't it? So there's been real movement way back in history.
Thousands of years ago, yeah.
So it's the instruments that are similar, is it?
Yes, and the musical styles, the folk music of Scandinavia, actually shares similarities with the Eastern European music that we discussed in an earlier talk. The use of musical scales, different musical scales and quarter notes, gives the folk music a very exotic sound to our modern Western ears. Scandinavian folk music styles have found their way into 20th and 21st century music from the region. And for example, the genre of heavy metal music has been strongly influenced by Scandinavian folk scales, the rhythmic patterns, and even the singing styles.
That's extraordinary.
And the Icelandic singer and composer, Björk, incorporated ancient Icelandic techniques into her modern electronic music. And also, Scandinavian folk music influences have long been used by film composers. And one such example is the score for Disney's Frozen.
Right, well, that's appropriate for the area we're talking about, isn't it? There's a great tradition in singing, isn't there, in this area?
Yes, vocal music is extremely popular in the Nordic countries. And some of the oldest pieces of folk music in Sweden and Norway are songs. And one example is called Kulning. And this is an unaccompanied type of song, typically sung by women and originally for the purpose of herding sheep, goats and cows. And these herding calls are known for their haunting quality and they feature quarter tones, which means very small changes of pitch, and half tones, which gives the songs a distinctive character not usually found in Western classical or popular music. And to Western ears, these songs sometimes have a very bluesy sound. And what is distinctive about these songs is that the singer sings in a very high-pitched register so that the sound will carry across the vast fields and the vast plains.
It is similar to the yodeling that we heard last time.
Yes.
Which is also for communicating over long distances.
Yes. And the composer Edvard Grieg incorporated cooling melodies into some of his works, including his famous Peer Gynt suite.
Let's hear an example of that, Kulning.
This song is a farewell to the cows.
Right, it's not asking where are they. They're lucky cows, I would say, to have such lovely music. Kulning is one sort of singing, a song, but there are other types of songs in the tradition of the Nordic region.
Yes, there are. Another popular type of folk song that dates from the Middle Ages is called a stev.
S-T-E-V.
S-T-E-V. And a stev consists of short four-line stanzas with a strong sense of rhythm and a rhyming scheme to the lyrics.
Let's hear some of that.
Deras vind på grunge botten, när lumen på botten I faklar. Der växer så fager tajt björkelau. Och jantun från utom jalar. Eg jang så trygg I den gamle gar. Eg frän från burt farne fran du kan känna. Mannen då vinnar en jonsök mörgon. När vår sol I år ler anna.
If you didn't tell me where that was from, I might have guessed it was from Scotland or the Orkneys or
yes,
something like that.
Yes.
There's something very cold about it, very atmospheric.
Yes, indeed.
You're going to tell us about another kind of singing style.
Yes. Now, the ballad, in Scandinavian folk music, the ballad, unlike the stev, are very long narrative songs which are known for their poetic and storytelling qualities. And these songs tell a story in many verses, and they often have a simple accompaniment on an accordion, a piano, or a guitar. Or very often they are sung unaccompanied.
En gång när jag gick vägen fram så väntade jag I lunden för upp så reser in sig. Så väntade jag I lunden och fanns av fågelkärlen till så kunde det fånga mitt bälte för upp så reser in sig. Så kunde det fånga mitt bälte så jag gav.
It's important also for the people of the area to sing together, isn't it?
Oh yes, very important. Group singing and community sing-alongs are a huge part of Swedish musical culture. Ballads and other folk tunes are often sung during community sing-alongs. And there's a regular sing-along show on Swedish television.
Even now?
Even now, yes. Hugely popular. Since the 1970s, this programme has been broadcast. It features thousands of Swedes taking part and then more than a million viewers sing along at home.
And these are traditional songs that they
yes.
sing?
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's not pop lyrics.
No,
anything.
These ballads and folk tunes that we've been talking about.
How about the instruments that the people of the Nordic areas play? Are there any different to what we're used to seeing?
There's some fascinating instruments, and some of them, are again, go back thousands of years. One example, the earliest evidence of musical instruments goes back to the Bronze Age. Natural horns called lyres have been discovered in bogs across Denmark and throughout Sweden and Norway and northern Germany. And the lyre is a long horn, perhaps more than a metre in length, without any finger holes.
And this is brass?
It's brass, or bronze, I should say, really. And they can be straight or curved. And the curved variety is easier to carry. And the lyre was sometimes used as a wartime instrument, a battle horn, if you like. And in the Icelandic sagas, lures were said to be used to signal troops and to frighten off enemies.
Thank you.
What do we hear at the beginning then?
Well, in this particular recording, the player starts by striking the bell of the horn, and it sounds rather like a cymbal being played before he starts to blow the horn and produce the notes.
That's a very striking sound.
It is.
If I was an enemy, I'd be running away. You have another example to play us.
Yes, the bockhorn is another early Nordic instrument, and it was used for calling in the herds of cows, sheep or goats, as opposed to the cooning, for example, or to scare off possible predators. It's made from the horn of a ram or a goat.
So it's not that long.
No, it's just a curved goat's horn with finger holes drilled into it. And it makes it possible to play melodies. And from such a simply constructed instrument, it has a very sophisticated sound, and it's still used in music today, and composers incorporate this bockhorn into compositions. It's used, for example, in the score for Disney's Frozen. One of these instruments is actually played as part of the score.
That's a very sophisticated sound for such a simple instrument.
It's quite incredible that such a beautiful tone, the tuning of it can be produced from purely an animal horn with holes drilled into it.
What about stringed instruments? Are they found as well in the northern areas?
Stringed
there?
Instruments, hugely popular. Violins, fiddles. Fiddles come in many, many varieties. But one distinctive variant is the Norwegian Hardanger fiddle. This instrument has 8 or 9 strings, whereas a typical violin has 4. It's made of thinner wood than a typical violin. And the top 4 strings are played like a violin, while the others resonate sympathetically. And another instrument that is related to the fiddle is the Swedish nyckelharpa. The nyckelharpa looks similar to a hurdy-gurdy. It's violin-like in shape. It's played with a bow, a very primitive sort of bow, a twig really, with horsehair attached to it. And the instrument has wooden keys to change the pitch of the strings. Oh. And a modern version of the nyckelharpa has 16 strings. 3 of them are used for melody, 1 for a drone, and then 12 resonate sympathetically. And then it's played with 37 wooden keys.
Sounds very complicated.
It is, but it's quite an interesting instrument. It has quite a medieval sort of sound to it.
Let's hear that. People of the north spend a lot of time in the dark, don't they?
They do.
When the sun comes out, they know how to party.
It's time for party, yes. And very, very popular are the folk music festivals that are held at midsummer. The winters, as we said, they're long, they're cold and dark. So the midsummer is the most popular holiday of the year. And it's celebrated at the summer solstice, being the halfway point for the warm season in the cool climate. I have a recording from the Midsummer Festival, and this includes fiddles, nyckelharpa, the dulcimer, the guitar, the double bass and the accordion.
So all the instruments that you've just been talking about.
And it's a joyous sound, very much for dancing, celebrating and having a good party.
I think that's a great way to end this particular episode of our trip around Europe. Again, Carl, thanks so much for all the work you're doing and highlighting all these wonderful pieces of music. And we look forward to hearing what you have to tell us next time.
Thank you very much, Rob.